Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 and 19. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our loving Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed. In our second scripture reading this morning, we heard of the third appearance of our Savior since his resurrection. We heard how Jesus appeared on the shores of the Sea of Galilee to his disciples, and how he once again filled their nets to overflowing with fish. It appears that John was the first one to realize that that stranger on the shore was Jesus. And when Peter heard that, he immediately jumped in the sea and swam and made his way to the shore. Eventually, the rest of the disciples came dragging the boat and the net of fish to the shore as well. When they got there, Jesus had already prepared a meal for them of fish and bread. Sometime after that meal, Jesus then approached Peter and spoke to him. No doubt those past few weeks since Good Friday had been awfully hard for Peter. Peter knew how he had terribly failed his Lord. No doubt every day he remembered how he cursed and swore that he didn't even know this man named Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times he denied knowing him. That day probably seemed like an eternity ago. And yet every day he probably thought about it with shame. So many things have happened since that Good Friday, though. Remember when he finished his third denial, we're told that as Jesus was being moved from one trial to another, he looked down at the courtyard and he saw Peter and their eyes locked. And Peter saw Jesus and he was reminded of the words that Jesus said, "You'll deny me three times." And he was filled with guilt. He ran out of the courtyard and he wept tears of repentance. And then Easter Sunday morning, he saw the empty tomb. And then we're told sometime on Sunday, probably somewhere late morning, early afternoon, Jesus appeared to Peter. Then that evening, Peter was with the disciples behind closed doors and saw Jesus there. And he said to them, "Peace be to you." 8 days later, as we heard last Sunday, he appeared again, this time with Thomas. And Peter saw him again. And now, Peter again is with some of the disciples on the shore of Galilee. And he sees him, Peter, for the fourth time now. But as far as we know, in all of these appearances, we don't know of Jesus ever mentioning to Peter what he had done. Never reprimanding him, never admonishing him. And that probably bothered Peter greatly. I'm sure he wanted to forget the whole thing. And yet he probably wondered, how does my Savior, my Lord, feel about what I had done? Well, Jesus, in his love and compassion, puts Peter's guilt, concern, fear, apprehension aside, and asks him a very simple question. Yet every single word is very important. So listen again to that simple question and look at every word. He said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Do you notice what Jesus called him? He called him Simon. That was his birth name. Jesus had said he would be called Peter, which meant rock. But Peter hadn't acted like a rock. As a rock, Peter had to rely upon the rock of ages, Jesus Christ and his word. But Peter didn't. Peter put his confidence and trust in himself, in his own strength, his own courage, his own faith. And he fell miserably. He didn't trust in Jesus and in his word. And so Peter is saying, "Peter, you're not the rock. You're simply a man named Simon, son of Jonah." And he says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" It's unfortunate that in the English we don't get the nuances of the word love here. We've mentioned this several times in other sermons, that the Greek have several different names for the word love. Highest form of love of all is agape, the kind of love that God has for us. It is unconditional, self-sacrificing, serving, not thinking about yourself at all, doing for the other. That's the kind of word that Jesus uses here when he says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Do you have that highest form of love for me?" Another term for love is phileo. That's affectionate love. It's kind of brother and sister kind of love. The love you have for your friends. It's a loving in the sense of liking someone and caring for them. The kind of agape love we see summarized in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved us so much, had such unconditional love for us sinners, he was willing to sacrifice his own son. And Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. How could God do that? He sure couldn't have had phileo love for us. He couldn't have had affection and liking for this world that stunk so bad, smell of sin, the smell of selfishness, the smell of all the things that we do in our life. And yet, God, in his inestimable love, unconditional love, loved the unlovable. Loves those even who are repulsive to him. His love had a wondrous purpose too. That's the rest of John 3:16. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting love. That's agape love. Loving even when you're not loved in return. Loving those who are repulsive to you. Paul also states that agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails." That's the kind of perfect love that God has for us. But then the Lord says to us, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And so in our sanctified life, we are to strive to have this kind of agape love, but we love others as well, forgetting about ourselves, serving, loving, not being easily upset or self-seeking, and loving others. Another example of agape love is when Jesus says to us, "Love your enemies." He didn't say, "Like your enemies." He didn't say, "Be friends to your enemies." He says, "Love your enemies." Somewhere I read this: only a Christian who has a shallow conviction and loose principles can like everybody. He's not commanding us to like everybody, to be friends with everybody. He says, love everybody. Love your enemies. That means even those who hate Christ, even those who hate us because we're Christians, we're to have a love for them that desires their salvation, that prays for them, that wants them to hear the law and be convicted of their sins, and then through the gospel, be converted and believe in Christ. So that's Jesus' simple question to Peter. Peter, do you agape me? And he adds, more than these. Immediately, Peter is reminded of what he had said on that Monday, Thursday evening when Jesus had warned all the disciples, you will all fall away from me. And he said to Peter, you'll deny me. And what did Peter say? He said, even if all fall away, they all may, but he separated himself from the rest of them. He says, but they all may fall away from you, but I never will. How arrogant, how proud, how self-confident Peter thought he was. I'm not like John. I'm not like Thomas. I'm like the rest of them. I'm going to not do this. That pride that was in Peter, Jesus wants to wipe out. So he reminds him, do you now love me, agape me, more than all these other ones that you said you were better than? Well, Peter has learned his lesson. He humbly, meekly responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But here we see in the original Greek, Peter didn't use the word agape. He used the word phileo. You know I have affection for you, Lord. You know I love you as a friend. And Peter shifted the emphasis from himself to his Lord. You know this, Lord. You have omniscience. You know that I have this love for you. That burning, shameful sin denial, which the Lord is laying on Peter's heart, leads him to not claim anything more than phileo love. And Jesus accepts Peter's confession. And he says to him, feed my lambs. With these words, Jesus is doing two things. One, he's assuring Peter he's forgiven of his sins, washed clean. He's assuring the other brothers there who they're listening that he's also forgiving Peter his sins. But he's also telling him, I'm installing you back into your office, into your apostleship. He had already on Easter Sunday evening, when he breathed on them and said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And he said that they are to go out and to forgive sins and retain sins. But now Jesus is looking directly at Peter and saying, yes, this means you too, Peter. You go out and you feed my lambs. That's important for Peter. It's important for his disciples to see. And important for us also and future generations to understand. So what did Jesus say it again? Feed my lambs. Literally, he's saying, pasture my little ones. Remember when parents had brought little ones to Jesus for him to touch them and bless them? Remember what the disciples had done? They told him to go away. Don't bother Jesus. He's too busy. He has more important things to do. And Jesus was very frustrated with them and rebuked them. He said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And here Jesus shows how important little children are in his kingdom, that we need to nourish them. We need to pasture them, bring them the nourishing words of forgiveness and life and salvation through Jesus Christ when they're little, as little lambs, and strengthen them in that word. Short time later, Jesus again says to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Same question, only he drops off more than these. Peter responds, same humble way, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus again uses the word agape, and Peter again responds with agape. This time Jesus says, Simon, tend my sheep. Literally, shepherd my sheep. Here Jesus is talking about sheep now, more grown-up sheep. And he says, you be the under-shepherd. Like all the other apostles, be my under-shepherd to guide and lead and provide for my sheep. And then the third time, Jesus says to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And this time, Jesus used the word phileo. And Peter is crushed. Peter is grieved. Three times, Jesus has publicly asked Peter, do you love me? No doubt reminding Peter the three times he publicly, in front of all those people there in the courtyard, said, he didn't even know this man, Jesus. But I believe that Peter is even more crushed because now this time, Jesus uses the word, do you even phileo me, Peter? Do you really even have that affectionate love for me as your friend? Remember the third temptation? The third time he was tempted to deny Jesus? What did he say? I don't even know this man. Didn't even call him by his name. How much agape, how much phileo, affectionate love, how much friendship love did Peter show then? None whatsoever. His heart was cold. Now, Jesus is not being mean here. He's not being vindictive. But in his great love, he knows that sometimes he needs to hurt us in order to heal us. He had great things in mind for Peter. Peter was going to be a great apostle. He was going to go out and proclaim the gospel message. And Peter needed to realize that pride, that arrogance, that self-confidence that he had needs to be rooted out entirely from his heart. Rely upon Jesus and him alone. And so Jesus said again, feed my sheep. As we read through this little short sermon text, it applies to me as pastor, applies to Ms. Abbas as teacher, it applies to all of you as members. We as pastors and teachers, you hear Jesus say to us, not just three times, but every day, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? More than your family? More than your friends? More than your free time? More than all the things in this world? Are you willing to give your life for me? And will you love me so much that you will preach the gospel message and not compromise? So in other words, you will not be discouraged when things don't go your way. You'll not be upset when you think, well, it should have been done this way and not the other way. And when we failed to realize we need to trust the Lord more, to not rely upon ourselves in our ministries, but to trust that Jesus is the one who will give us the strength to serve in him. So do we serve him and want to give rather than be given to? And serve rather than be served? Do we want to be obedient to his word rather than be popular or well-liked and be selfless for the gospel's sake? And how many times don't we as pastors and teachers have to say, Lord, please forgive me too. Like Peter, I too have failed. Failed to love you in an agape way, as I should, because I did complain about the work, the duties, the shepherding. Did complain about the calling, maybe just doing out of habit rather than out of love. What a comfort it is to know that Jesus says to us, continue to tend my lambs. Continue to tend and feed my sheep. You're forgiven. As members, we sit in our pews, we make our confession to Christ, we're ready to go out and serve the Lord, and we say, I will follow you. And we get out there, we profess our undying love in church, and sometimes we fall flat on our face. We don't say what we should say when we have the opportunity. We say things we shouldn't say when we get angry and upset. We deny our Lord in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts for sure. And we need to say too, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you, but I can't say that I love you agape because I'm so weak. I fail so many times. And the Lord says to us too, you go out too, feed my sheep. You go out and raise your children by teaching them about Jesus. You go out and tell your friends about me as Lord and Savior. Show your neighbors that Jesus is your shepherd, the one you love above all things. With our own devotions, our family devotions, hearing God's word in church, we're relying upon his word. Not our faith, not our courage, not our abilities, but our Lord. With Christ's love filling our hearts, we'll see the most important thing in our life is our salvation. And the salvation of others. Our salvation from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And then Christ gives us the ability to meet the chores, the battles, the temptations, the trials of every single thing in this life that comes our way. We can all say this: Jesus died for me. He has forgiven me all my sins. When I have not agape'd him, when I have not even phileo'd him, he's forgiven me. My resurrected Lord is my living good shepherd who loves me, and he's called me to follow him. As I follow him, he's called me to serve him by serving others. And as we hear his word, he will live spiritually within our hearts, and he'll guide us through that word to be able to say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our good shepherd, Jesus. Amen.